transformation and just engage in a very physical response to his anger and situation that he saw. Mashing those two videos together of that story and the Hulk out there seemed to really capture what I think a lot of us think when we read that story. I mean, did Jesus flip out? Did he lose control for a few moments? He did neither. Jesus was angry, and he gave us a great example of how to handle our anger. This month, we're talking about how to make a difference in our personal life. And we had a little break last week, having the honor of Dr. Jay Henry join us. And he talked about fear. And as he was talking about fear, I was thinking about, you know, what if I were afraid of words that were pronounced the same but had different meanings and were spelled different? Would that make me homophobic? Homophones? So, just thinking about my fears, you know, I think about things like that. Joking aside, it was a real honor to have Jay Henry here with us, and I invited him back to attend sometime to not have any responsibility here to teach or speak, to just come and sit down and worship with us and be able to hear a sermon instead of have to bring a sermon. And he said, you know, not many people think to invite me to do that, to just come to church. And so we might see Jay come back and worship with us on an off Sunday when he's not somewhere else preaching and teaching. So on the other Sundays of this month, we are talking about making a personal difference, how to make a difference in our personal lives. We talked about the main goal of any Christian should be to live like Jesus, to model our life like Jesus. And we talked briefly about praying like Jesus. We talked about learning how to spend our time like Jesus. And then today is another important topic in our personal life that I believe all of us will need to grab a hold of at some level, and that is how to handle our anger like Jesus did. I've met very few people in my life that haven't struggled with how to handle their anger. I believe most of us could do better in this category. Imagine what our lives would be like if we could just handle our anger in a holy and righteous way. Imagine with me how things would change with your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your parents. Imagine how things would be different at work if you handled your anger better, if you handled your anger like Jesus. Even before you get to work, imagine what the drive to work would be like if we could just handle our anger like Jesus. Imagine how much stress that would remove from your life if we could handle our anger in a righteous and holy way. Well, first of all, we'll look at Jesus' example in John chapter 2. So that's right there in your bulletins. And there are a few pointers that we can look at here. We've had the scripture read to us through the video. I'll refer back to a couple of places there. And through that scripture, we see some pointers of how we can handle our anger like Jesus handled his. First of all, we need to process our emotions. So process your emotions. Understand what is at the root of your anger. We need to process our emotions and understand what is at the root of our anger. As you write that down, processing your emotions, just pause. Just pause for a moment and reflect before you react. Oftentimes, if we would just reflect, we wouldn't react, we would respond. And there's a big difference between reacting and responding. Two very different outcomes from that. So process the emotions. Understand what is at the root of your anger, because anger is always a secondary emotion. Anger always comes second or third or fourth. It's never the primary emotion. Anger is always a secondary emotion. It always piggybacks on another emotion. There's always another emotion that comes first. And so we need to define that primary emotion. We need to understand what that primary emotion is. What caused the anger? What emotion triggered the anger? We need to understand what emotion led to the anger. That's how it is in your bulletins there. Anger is the second emotion. Define the primary emotion. What caused me to get angry in the first place? I'm angry. Is it because I'm hurt? I was hurt. That's why I became angry. That's the primary emotion. Or was my pride or my ego dented a little? Now I'm angry because of it. Well, move from the anger and focus back on the primary emotion. I was offended. My ego was hurt. My pride was hurt. Was I disappointed or betrayed? And that's what led to the anger. Do I feel like I was wronged in some way or taken advantage of some way? And that feeling led to the feeling of anger. So what is it that led to my anger? Identify the primary emotion. And that will help us answer an important question. And that is this a righteous anger or an unrighteous anger? So when we define the primary emotion, we can go back and kind of check that out and say, okay, what has caused this in me? What's brought this to me? I believe anger is a reflection of the very image of God inside of us. We're told that God, in God's word, we're told that we are made in the image and likeness of God himself. And we are told over 300 times that God got angry in the Old Testament, a dangerous anger. Anger that is described as fierce anger over 70 times of those 300 plus times in the Old Testament. It is very clear that anger was an emotion that God felt. Not just once, it was part of his character. And then we see Jesus here on earth in John chapter 2, and he wasn't freaking out as he became some Hulk Jesus. He was in full control. This was part of his character. This was part of him revealing God to us and showing us who God is. It was consistent with his representation of who God was. So I believe this emotion, this emotion of anger, it has holy roots to it. And we experience anger because we are made in God's image, in the image of a perfect God who gets angry. So we have righteous anger, but then we also have unrighteous anger. So righteous anger being anger that represents the type of anger God would have. We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. But then we've got unrighteous anger. And unrighteous anger is a perversion of the holy anger that we get from God's image. I almost called the sermon angry like Jesus, but too many of us have that image of the Hulk Jesus in our brain that title just wouldn't communicate right off. So I kind of massaged it a little bit into handling our anger like Jesus. But really, getting angry like Jesus, that's the goal of how we should want to get angry, is to be angry the way Jesus got angry, not in the perversion of anger that has happened and become sin. So how do we know if it's righteous or unrighteous? I think a simple question will help sort that out for us. And that is, am I angry at sin or am I angry because of sin? Am I angry at something that would make God angry? Am I angry at sin? Now, jealousy is a good one because we know that's one of the emotions that God had, one of the emotions that led God to anger. So if you're jealous of your spouse because they're spending time in ways that are jeopardizing your relationship, jeopardizing the marriage, spending time with a coworker of the opposite sex, lots of extra time, skipping family meals to work late with that person, sending inappropriate texts to that person, so on and so forth. You get the picture. Then having jealousy and then an anger based out of that jealousy, that would be a righteous anger because it's from a righteous jealousy. We've identified the primary emotion, and that primary emotion was rooted in a holy and righteous feeling, one that matched what caused God to get jealous. Because the Israelites were being unfaithful to him, and he said, I am a jealous God. And they had chosen to take and put other things in God's place, and that moved him to anger. So am I angry at sin? Or am I angry because of sin? Is the root of my anger a sinful reason? Let's go back to the anger produced by jealousy, because these are real close to the fence, some of these things we have to weigh out. And what if your spouse is living a completely normal life at work and at home, and you've developed some sort of paranoia, and you've let jealousy grow in you that has no righteous base for growing? Maybe your spouse has skipped a couple of meals to work a little extra, but it was validated. It was a legitimate reason. They've done nothing to show that they've been unfaithful. They've done nothing to show that any of that is unrighteous. but yet you have a jealousy growing in you, and you get angry from that. If you go back to the primary emotion and examine that and realize, you know what, I don't have any reason to be jealous. I'm not jealous at sin. I'm jealous because of sin in me. I'm jealous because of some insecurity I feel or some sort of thing that I'm dealing with that I need to take before God. I don't need to be angry at this person. I need to let God work with some things inside of me. So I think that question helps to kind of sort things out a little bit, to ask yourself, am I angry at something that God would be angry with? Am I angry at sin? Or am I angry because of something I've done or because of something that's not right inside of me? Because of how sin has somehow distorted some other emotion or some other feeling? I think that answering that question will help us to figure out if we have a righteous anger or an unrighteous anger. And there are a lot of other situations that are more black and white than that. I picked one that was kind of a little less black and white, something that takes a little bit of thought to decipher. So if your anger is based out of an unrighteous reason, you're angry because someone parked in your parking place at work. You're angry because you didn't get your way about something. Or you're angry because you feel entitled to something because of an inflated self, view of self, and your ego is hurt or your pride is hurt. Whatever it is, if you look at the primary emotion and the cause of your anger is something that is self-centered or something that's birthed out of the sin inside you, then how do you deal with that? You got to let the anger go, and then you got to take that primary emotion to God and seek repentance for it. Ask him to help you work through that so that you don't do any damage with any other relationships through anger because of that initial emotion inside of you. But if your anger is based on a righteous emotion, if it has holy roots, and it is a righteous and holy anger, and the anger is not based out of sin, then the anger is not sin. Angry at something because it is something that God himself would get angry about, then you need to do something about it. You know, I've got a number of different things that make me angry, and this is a tough one this morning. I kind of had a hard time putting it together this week. For 10 years of our marriage, we had no kids. Not to be careful when they're around to share this. Because I've shared it to them, but I don't want to share it too many times. And we didn't yell in our house. Then we had kids. And sometimes you have to get louder than they are. And that sparks things in me that I had left dormant for 10 years. Because before we got married, my wife had heard about my temper. And she was like, that's the only thing that concerns me. And I was like, well, we just won't yell. And that fixed it. So it never took me to a level. But then with the kids, one of the first times I got loud, boom, it triggered. And then, you know, now for 8-9 years, I'm having to learn how to adjust and work with and have, you know, sort all this out that I'm preaching about today. You know, I'm down here in my heart and soul, you know, but I have to bring what God's word says because I know it's healthy and I know it's good for all of us, myself included. So there are some things that I struggle with, some things that I've been angry about that aren't holy or righteous. But then there are some things that really upset me that are holy and are righteous. Like for instance, and I'll make sure I'm scanning, make sure I'm good here. And they might listen to it online, and I don't mind because we had a pretty open conversation. But I went to see Lou in the hospital, and she has some neighbors down below that are taking care of her cats. They're looking after her house, and they've just been wonderful to her. And Lou said, I've been trying to get them to come to church, but they've been really offended by Christians in the past, and they just don't want to come to church. And she said, maybe this will be a, you know, I needed to get the information to order the Reds tickets. And she said, that's on my entertainment center. Maybe this will be a chance for you to talk with her and get to know her and just have a first touch. And I said, excellent. So I left the hospital. I went to the apartments. And actually, I grabbed lunch in between. But I went to the apartments and I met with the lady there. And she took me upstairs and we talked. And Lou had already shared with me her story, but she shared with me her story. And she was a waitress. And I waited tables myself between high school and college. And she said Sundays were the worst. And anybody who's ever waited tables, you know this is true. If you have a Sunday shift and you're trying to trade with someone, No one will trade with you. Why? Because of church people. They're rude. They don't tip. They're stingy. They're nothing like what they live through the week. She said she'd have customers come through during the week dressed one way and come in on Sunday morning dressed another way and just didn't see how that was, you know, consistent in their life. And she doesn't want to come to church. She said, I've been praying for Lou. I believe in God, and I have a relationship with him, and I've been praying for Lou the whole time she's been in the hospital. And I said, I get bothered by Christians like that myself. That makes me angry. And so we have a church of people that are a little bit different than that group of Christians. I believe that about you. If I find out different, then I'll have another level of anger towards that. See, that makes me angry when Christians aren't, because she could be in church somewhere. Maybe not here, maybe somewhere else. Hopefully here would be great. But because of the way some Christians have acted, has really shut that off. I've got another person I share with that's an atheist who grew up in the church, was baptized into Christ, and now rejects God. For other people that have been baptized and they've walked away or, you know, backslid, so to speak, I've got some hope there with them. But someone who has become a Christian and then rejects God, I don't see that there's any hope there until they repent. And the reason that person left church and rejected God was because of the way some people in his church acted, and it wasn't consistent with Jesus. And I know we're not perfect. And I know for some of these people, yeah, they might be excuses, but when they tell their story, there's a lot more reason than excuse. And there's some things that we could do differently as Christians, and that makes me angry. And so what do I do about that? Well, I take action. I make sure that on a regular basis here, when I share with you guys, how many times have you heard me say, live like Jesus? Don't just wear the name tag. Is that kind of over and over? And are you kind of sick of hearing that? I'm going to keep saying it. How many times have you heard me talk about being generous and caring for people and sharing with people? I try to make sure that I leave good tips for that reason. Sometimes I can't give in other areas. That's one area where I make sure, okay, if I'm going to eat out somewhere, I'm going to make sure I have enough to give a decent tip. And you guys have heard me speak on that. So that's an action. So you feel the emotion. You get into the inner emotion, the primary emotion. What makes me angry about this? And then you do something about it. You take action. Jesus, it says in John chapter 15, John chapter 2, verse 15, and we already heard the man on the screen read this, but he said, so he made a whip out of cords. Everybody say, made a whip. Sometimes we miss that. We skip over that. That's a very, very important three words in this passage. He made a whip out of cords. John specifies the material used. And drove all from the temple courts, both the sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. So once you process your emotions, then you need to process your solutions. Let's write that down. Process your solution. Make a whip. So you're like, what? Make a whip. Make a whip means make a plan. Make a plan. See, it took time for Jesus to make a whip. He didn't just grab a staff out of one of the disciples' hands and just start whacking people. No, John specifies very clearly he made a whip. That took time. That took hitting the pause button. Let's write this down. My response to my anger is a choice. My response to my anger is a choice. We have to take responsibility of that. It is our choice how we are going to respond in our anger. Pause. Take a moment and make a whip. Make a plan. Before you respond in this powerful emotion, now I think it's a very good emotion. Anger moves us to do things we wouldn't normally do. It empowers us. But before you respond in that powerful emotion, take time to make a plan. Make a whip. Process your solution. John shares with us the material that Jesus used. It said he made a whip out of cords, which would have still stung a bit if it would have connected, but not nearly as bad as a whip made of leather, which would have been what the whips would have been made of. If he would have just grabbed a whip from someone and started Indiana Jonesing, it would have been leather and it would have hurt. It could have injured, but he made a whip out of cords. He was thinking through the process of how he was going to execute this. Or worse, it could have been the whip that Jesus was whipped with that had pieces of metal and bone inside the leather. But Jesus chose a material that even showed that he wasn't hulking out. He wasn't freaking out. He was in full control. He was choosing how he was going to respond. He chose a material that would maybe leave a mark if it connected, but it wouldn't injure or hurt. And so when we process our plan, when we make our whip, we need to do so in such a way that we're not making a whip out of leather and bones and metal, but we're making a whip out of cords. We're thinking about the right level of anger that needs to be shared. So we need to pause. Our action response to anger always should have the safety on. You know, like the safety on a gun keeps you from pulling the trigger until you're set and you're ready to pull the trigger. Our anger should have a safety on it. Our anger should have a safety that we can't pull the trigger until we're ready and we're set and we've decided what we're aiming at and what we're going to shoot. A safety that if we tried to react out of anger, the safety would catch us and not let us pull the trigger until we were ready. So just pause. The safety of the power of the pause. Just pause before you react. Pause and make a whip so that you can respond instead of react. Your response is a choice. Let your anger empower an action that is going to cause righteous change. Let your anger empower an action that is going to cause righteous change. It's not to empower revenge. It's not even some sort of justice. It's not an eye for an eye type of deal here. Sometimes the things that will make us angry, they won't have a fix. Our anger won't be able to fix the things that have made us angry. They won't be able to bring justice to a situation. Our anger should be focused on causing a righteous change, not vindication, not justice, not revenge. Jesus' anger, the response that he gave, was to cause a righteous change, to cause them to think differently about God's house and rethink what they had done. Jesus made a whip. He made a plan. Well, first of all, Jesus understood why he was angry. Why was he angry? His primary emotion, he felt zeal for God's house. It was important to him how God's house was used. That's what led to the anger. Jesus made a whip. He made a plan. He paused before he reacted. He made a whip out of cords, and then he responded. And he responded, and he let that powerful emotion empower him to direct his anger in a way that would cause a righteous change. Selling animals in the temple started off as a service to the people that were coming from a long distance to come to Jerusalem to make a sacrifice. And what it was that they could travel lighter if all they had to bring was currency and they didn't have to bring a bunch of animals with them. If they brought currency and they were selling the animals at the temple, they could come and they could buy their sacrifice and then go make the sacrifice. It originally was built as a service to facilitate worship. But it grew into a way for these people to take advantage of these travelers, up the prices, and make money for themselves. And then it moved from facilitating the worship to making money off of the worship. Jesus overturned the tables and he set the animals free because he didn't want God's house to turn into a marketplace. That wasn't the purpose of the service. That wasn't the purpose of God's house. So in following Jesus' example, once we define the primary emotion and decide if the anger is righteous or unrighteous, if it is righteous, anger, then we should respond. We should plan out that response. We should make a whip. We should make a plan. And then we should execute that plan in a way that is going to cause a righteous change. And as we process the plan, as we execute the plan, as we go through this whole process, we should keep in mind that all emotions are held accountable to our responsibility to love. All emotions are held accountable to our responsibility to love. Jesus acted on his anger in love, and we should do the same. Paul gives some guidelines of how we should handle our anger in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So Paul's guidelines, Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry. We won't even get to the but yet. Let's just talk about be angry. The NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. But the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, translates much closer to what the Greek actually is, and that is be angry, and yet do not sin. The Greek used here is not something that says if you are angry. It's not a concession for anger. It's not in the instance that you happen to fall into anger. No, it says be angry. There are times to be angry. Just verses later, Paul will write in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So back just in, you know, verse 26 or whatever, 25, 26, he says, be angry. And then in verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. There are two different kinds of anger here he's talking about. Here, he's talking about the wrong way to be angry. It's in the family of bitterness and rage, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Earlier, he says, be angry and yet do not sin. So there is a right way to be angry, and there is a wrong way to be angry. So be angry, but he gives us some guidelines for that. Do not sin in your anger. Let's write that down. Be angry, but do not sin. There is a way to express your anger in a way that is not bitter. There is a way to express your anger in a way that is not in an uncontrolled fit of rage. There's a way to express your anger in a way that does not slander someone or cause physical injury to others. There's a way to express your anger in a way that doesn't leave unnecessary emotional scars. Let that thought enter your mind as you are making your whip, as you are designing your plan to respond to the righteous and holy anger you have. And if it's not righteous, if it doesn't have a righteous or holy root, it doesn't need to trigger a response. Let it go. Ask for God's help. So Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. So let's write this down. Do not delay resolution. Be angry, but don't sit on it. Don't delay resolution. Don't let it go on and on and on and on and on. That's not healthy. If it's a righteous anger, you need to resolve it. You need to do something about it. Back in 2008, I did a 3-sermon message on anger. And in that series, a lot of this came from that just because this is one of the sessions that I normally share in my premarital sessions with a couple that's going to get married. You need to learn how to be angry the right way before you enter into marriage. And deal with conflict in a healthy way, because it's going to happen. It's there. And as I was reviewing through those old sermons, I saw this and I was like, wow, that's pretty potent. James says in verse 17 of chapter 4, he says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. And this is what I found in that sermon back in 2008. I was like, wow. See, if you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit about a situation that causes a holy and righteous anger, we have to act on it, right? Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, they sin. So if the Holy Spirit has stirred in you a holy and righteous anger, if you have seen something, witnessed something, if you've, like, for instance, me talking about people not leaving a tip, that just happened this week, that made me angry. So I'm going to do something about it. The good we ought to do, and if we don't do that, then we sin. So if the Holy Spirit has stirred something in you and it has caused a holy anger, when Jesus walked into the temple, it would not have been right for him to get angry and turn around and leave unless he knew he couldn't control himself, but it was Jesus. He could control himself. We should be able to control ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But what was right for him, in connection with what James shares here, he was angry. It was a righteous anger. He had to do something about it. So do not delay resolution. What if you decided that the anger was unrighteous and you're having a difficult time letting go of it? And when I'm talking to a couple before they're going to get married, I'll suggest to them, you know what, if you're angry and you've decided, you know, this is not a holy anger, this is not a righteous anger, but you still can't get rid of it, you know, you're talking to God about it, why don't you talk to your spouse? Go to them as your friend and say, hey, first of all, I want to let you know I have no right to be angry over this, so you're not in the wrong, it's me. But I just need to talk it out because I'm angry at you for a reason that's not right, and maybe we can work this out together because I don't want you to think that I'm angry and wonder why I'm angry. I want you to know I'm angry and it's not for a good reason and I'm trying to deal with it. Help me work through it. You know, maybe that's a way to work through that. Maybe you can go to that person and you can ask for their forgiveness for you being angry at them for something that they don't deserve. Maybe that'll bring resolution. Either way, do not delay resolution. And then Paul says that we should not give the devil a foothold. So let's write this down. In a situation when emotions are out of control, Satan gains traction. In a situation where when emotions are out of control, Satan gains traction. We cannot allow him to have traction in our lives. And this isn't just anger. We can open this up to all emotions, any emotion. In fact, a few of these pointers can branch out past anger into other emotions. Think back through some of the notes you took. Any emotion. Is it a righteous emotion or is it an unrighteous emotion? Then that should tell you whether or not you should be feeling it or not. If it's a righteous emotion, embrace it. Let it empower you. If it's an unrighteous emotion, then drop it and run from it. Get rid of it. Get away from it. Your response to any emotion is a choice, just like anger. Your response in anger is a choice. Your response in any emotion is a choice. So take responsibility of that. Remember that. Remember that all of our emotions are to be held accountable to our responsibility to love God and to love others. And to remember that in a situation when emotions are out of control, not just anger, but especially anger, any emotion, when they're out of control, then Satan gains traction and we cannot afford that. Learning and practicing how to handle anger like Jesus will make a big impact on our personal lives, on making a difference in our personal lives.